We began speaking about Bishalach of Bishal and Basa B'Cholov, and we were looking at the Moreshes Moshe. He seems to summarize, thank you, the entire literature of the Achronim here on Bishalach of Bishal and Basa B'Cholov. And that's what he has here on page Reish Samach Aleph. If you'll take a look at the bottom of Reish Samach Aleph, at the very end of the page, he has a Sefer Chinuch. How are you, Herb? And he has a diuk in the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch writes the following. Yesh ba'olam dvarim shenesar lanu taruvasam. Now that's a general statement, which means that very often when we mix things together, it creates a problem, right? So we have a whole section called taruvas, where you cook, let's say, nevela together with basar shchuta. But he wants to say that this halach of taroves, says the Sefer HaChinuch, has a special role in basa b'cholov. And he says, v'efsha shetaroves habasar im acholov, if you mix meat and milk, b'maisa habishul, through an act of cooking, yeh sibas isuro. Here's where the Sefer HaChinuch adds a little piece that we didn't see in the Rishonim. And that's Yeh Sibas Isura. That why is Basa B'Cholov Asur? It's because through Bishul he created a Taroves of Basar Im Cholov. It's interesting, he's subsuming Basa B'Cholov under the category of Taroves. So if you take a look on page Reish Samach Beis, do we have an extra copy for her by any chance? No? Yeah, alright. Anyway, Mashma She'ikar Ha'isur Hu Iruv Hatamim Shel HaBosar V'Cholov.
Derech Bishul.
Correct, that if the Bishul created a mixture of these two Tamim, of Basar and Chol together in one entity, that itself is the Isur of Losavashal Gdiba Chalevi Mo. So I'll say, do you remember that we had one shita that said that even if I cooked the meat yesterday and I could cook the milk yesterday, but today I'm putting them both together and cooking them together, that would be a violation of Losavashal. What would you say about the Sefer HaChinuch? Would he support that shita or reject it? Nachamol, I'll go over the question again. Yeah. Yesterday we had a possibility that even if he had already cooked the basar and he had already cooked the cholov, but now he cooks it together, he violates the isur of losavashal gedi.
Yeah, he would be over.
Does this Sefer HaChinuch support that or contradict that?
It supports.
Supports that. Because he's telling you the sibas ha-isur is this taroves which is created through the bishul of basar and cholov. There's the time of the basar goes into the cholov, the time of the cholov goes into the basar through this ma'aseh bishul. That is the sibas ha'isur. We might change the language of the Sefer HaChinuch just to fit our language. V'zohi geder ha'isur, but he calls it sibas ha'isur.
But he doesn't address this possibility. If you have already basar b'cholov, right, there already was,
and you recook it. But he's not addressing.
No, not you cook that. You have other meat that you're cooking now with the basar b'cholov. So does that, according to him, is that an issur or not? Because you're not creating basar b'cholov.
Could be. It might depend upon shishim and not shishim.
No, I don't mean that because the entity of basar b'cholov you already have. But is the isur because you can it create more basar b'cholov?
Again, if you've already got a tam cholov, if the tam cholov could go out into this new piece of meat, then according to Sefer HaChinuch, that bishul would also be awesome.
Okay.
Again, you have to know exactly what the situation is, what the scenario is.
It doesn't form a new entity called basar b'cholov.
Well, again, the new entity is once the tam cholov through this bishul enters into the basar. So
well,
you have basar.
So once it does that, if you let's take the simple case, you cooked basar and cholov. Now you created basar b'cholov.
Right.
Okay. Now is this basar b'cholov a new entity altogether. It's not basar and it's not challah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm just suggesting the following. If you had a possibility of extracting the challah and now cooking that challah in a tarobes with basar in such a way that now the tav of the challah enters into the basar, I think according to the Sefer Chinuch, that would be a violation of Lo Sabash Al Gedi. The only question is, can you remove the tav of the basar?
Even without that, you have now a tam of basar b'chol.
Correct. So that will get
that
to
that tam of iser goes into another piece of meat.
Right. That
would be a tarobus issue.
That would be a tarobus issue. It might not be an iser of bishul basar b'chol.
It would not be over a basar
b'chol. Right. We all know these chayim machkas from the bishul.
Yeah.
Now he quotes Reb Chaim Brisker and he says the following: Ikar isuron hu mashen is arvu v'nasnu tam ze bazeh. Datam ma'urav mi basar vechalav yachad zeu gufo shalisur. I mean, he can't be more explicit than that. He quotes now the Chazon Ish. Isur bebasar vechalav who ochel hamurkav. In other words, he has a composite here, sort of like a hybrid. Asher tam murkav hu tam chadash. By taking these two tam, and one is basar, one is chalav, and combining them together, you create a brand new tam. Vizel etzema isur. That is the isur of creating this new tam of basar and chol. So it would be, I think, accurate to say that this would reflect what we saw over here on the top of that paragraph, where he says, "Heichas bishal es basar vechol benifrad, v'chazo bishlam biyachad." The bechay gav the yesh bishal achar bishal. Even though each one, each entity, was already cooked. And that's what we see here in the Sefer Chinuch and also in Reb Chaim. Now, as I told you, now that we're starting Kol HaBasar, I was looking around for Svarim, and I found a Sefer in my library, which I didn't know I had, which is called Shi'urei HaRav. And he has a simon here called Bishal Achar Bishal Bebasar B'cholav. So I was very excited about that.
So it happens.
And before we get to that, I want to share with you another. I was up late last night, but I found another simon here which I thought was very exciting and also touches on some of the discussions we had yesterday. And that's Geder Iser Basar B'cholav Midir Abanon. So he writes the following. I'll read it and then I'll summarize it. So if the reading sounds like if I drone and I bore you, don't worry about it. I'll say it over outside. The Ramah says writes that kol basar b'cholav she'eino osur me'atorah mutar ba'anah. So even though basar b'cholav d'oraisa is osur ba'anah, basar b'cholav d'rabbanan is not osur ba'anah. Ayin shach. So we're talking about the very first shach in Yoredeya Hilchus Basar B'chol. That's Siman Pei Zayin, and he writes Shekenu Das HaRambam that the Mechaber. The Ramah is codifying the Rambam sheet. The Hilchus Machol Suprek Tes Aloch Adalid V'od Rishonim. Aval Amar Shal B'Yam Shel Shlomo Lechulin Cholik U'Svir Le Di Af B'Basar B'chol Midrabanan Aser Bein B'Bishul Bein Ba'Anah. And this essay is going to analyze it. So let's just get the facts on the ground before we try to analyze it. According to the Ramah, basar b'cholav the Rabbanon is an Isra Achila and only an Isra Achila. According to the Marshal, basar b'cholav the Rabbanon, just like its parent, so to speak, a basar b'cholav the Raisa, is also not only b'achila, but also b'bishul and also b'anah. Vitzarech Ian b'may pligi. What is the fundamental underlying issue here? If we can break it down to its brass tacks, that divides between the Ramah and the Marshal. And he says, in order to analyze this, he wants us to look at a sugya in Chulin on Daf Kuf Ches. So we're on Kuf Dalid. We didn't get to Kuf Ches, but this is the famous Mishnah of tipas cholav. So you have milk that fell onto meat. V'acholav nosan tam b'chaticha. And the Gemara establishes chaticha atzma nases nevela. In yeshivas they call it chanan. You know, don't say this to someone whose name is Hanan, because it's a little bit disparaging. You know, chaticha nasis nevela. That's v'im nofla chaticha l'toch kedera acheres. So in the first pot you have meat and milk, and they were cooking together. Now this mixture falls into a second pot, and it has also basar heter. Is tzarech shishim keneged kol achaticha? You need 60 times in the second pot, in the heter, the second pot, you need 60 times the full mixture, the full volume that was cooked in the first pot. V'kol zehu bebosa b'cholav min ha-Torah. Avol bebosa b'cholav min ha-Rabbanon. Ayin b'taz simon tzadi, sifkot n'dalit. Shehevi bozeh machlokes ha-Rashba v'ha-Rambam. I am rinan be chaticha atzma nases nevela. So when we get to Basa B'chol D'Rabbanon, the Rashba and the Rambam are going to be at loggerheads as to whether we apply the principle of chaticha nases nevela. V'nafkemino l'kchal. So I remember from my youth that kchal is a very complicated sugya. So I just remember the superficial bottom line of kchal. Chal is the in Hebrew it's called a dad, like an udder of the cow, and it's fully saturated with milk. So you shechted the animal, and then you took the chal, and instead of removing the milk from the chal, you cooked the chal as is in its natural state. So this is considered basa b'cholav d'rabbanon. Now for that we have to know a lot more about basa b'cholav, but we'll just say it superficially. There's something called cholav shchuta, meaning that's milk that was taken out of the body of the animal after the shechita. That milk is not considered cholav as far as basa b'cholav is concerned, but min rabbanon it's also. So now he takes chal and he cooks it. The achakach nafal, the chal in the first pot falls into a kedera acheres, a second pot. He says nechleku bazeh hamachaber v'ramol edina. This is in Simon Tzadi. And the Taz claims that the issue between the Ramah and the Mechaber is going to be whether we need shishim against the entire Chal, or it's enough to have shishim in the second pot against the Cholav. In other words, what's the status of the Chal, meaning the Basar HaChal? Can we be mitzarif that with the Basar Heter? Because the Chal itself is not Asar. It only became Asar because you cooked it together with the Cholav. And the Mechaber is going to tell us that there's no need for shishim here against the Kchal. We're not going to apply the principle of chaticha atzma nasis nevel. The Ramah disagrees in the name of the Yesh Omrim. And he says, based on the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, that we have to apply, we will apply the principle of chanan even to basa b'cholav d'rabbanon. So basa b'cholav d'rabbanon now will appear in two forms. One is the case of chal, that's chal of shchuta, and secondly in the case of basar of, because we pass like Rabbi Akiva that basar of is only d'rabbanon. Now again, our issue is whether basar of b'cholav or any other basar b'cholav d'rabbanon is asur b'achila and only achila, or it's asur even in b'hanoah and in bisha. But in order to appreciate that, according to, again, this transmission of the Rav says you have to first then analyze the Siman Tzadi in Shulchan Aruch of Chal, because Chal is a case of Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan. And now we have Machlokas in Siman Tzadi, whether we apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela to Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan. And he says the following. Let's take a look at the Ritva. It's very interesting to me because I was in the Shia for 5 years. I never heard the Rav quote the Ritva. I'll tell you why I think the Rav didn't quote the Ritva. He had nothing against the Ritva personally. But I think the Rav thought that the Ritva was a Rosh Hashiva, and he didn't want to read anything from any Rosh Hashiva. See, the Ritva was third generation. Ramban, Rashba, and Ritva. And basically, you look in the Ritva, and he always enters into the issues that are already addressed by the Ramban and the Rashba, and he takes it on another level. And the Ritva is so good that the Rav didn't want to be exposed to the Ritva, because he felt that if you learn the Ritva, you might not appreciate what I have to say. I told you the story that in my Shia, somebody stopped the Rav in the middle of the Shia and said, what Rav Aaron said. And the Rav said, I don't care what Rav Aaron says. You listen to what I say. You go to Lakewood, you'll hear what Rav Aaron says. Rebbe, no, I didn't mean Rav Aaron Kotel. I meant Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Oh, what did he say? That's the loyalty to a Soloveitchik. But the Ritva here is very interesting, and he predates Rav Chaim by about 700 years, and listen to what he says. He says, "My di amrina de chaticha atzma nasis nevela bebasa becholov pirush adavar shachaticha nasis nevela mamish." And here's the punchline: "V'nefcha lechefta di sura." Again, this is like using Rav Chaim's terminology, but this is the Ritva. Klomar shelo nesra chaticha rak b'toris basa sheyesh bo blias cholov. It's not that the basar is carrying within it a blia of cholov. Ela b'toras basar nesar. It becomes osar as it is basar. That's once the cholov penetrates into the basar, the basar itself becomes a cheftzidi sura. V'kemen didina kecheftzidi sura v'loga kecheftzid shenivla bo basar. So you can't use the basar and link and integrate it with other basar, basar het to the second tarobes, and establish shishim against the cholov. If the basar was just carrying the cholov, so let's just be mevatel the cholov b'shishim, and the basar itself could be used as a mode of bitul. But if we're saying that the basar now becomes a chefta disur on its own, then you can't calculate the basar as part of the shishim against the heter. On the contrary, the basar itself now needs bittul, so you need shishim against the basar. That's called chaticha nas nevel. Again, we're talking about a doraisa. We're not talking about the drabonos. Says the Ritva, mehai time ol Rabbi Yehuda, kevod da chaticha neseres, si oseres shara chatichos kula mipnei shei mina. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is the shita that min b'mina lo bot, I feel be'elef. So if I take this piece of meat, which is now basa b'cholov, and I cook it together with another piece of meat, then I have no possibility of bitl. I could have 60 other pieces of heter meat, but min b'mina lo bot. Says the Ritva, the hoil v'chaticha shenesra chashiva kebasar ha'asar machmas atzmo is memela dina kemin b'mina. Again, if the basar is only asar because of the cholov, so then that's not min b'mina, that's min b'sheino mina, and then we would apply bittul. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, since the basar itself becomes a chaticha disura, is memela, I have a case here of min b'mina, because basar b'basar is min b'mina, and Rabbi Yehuda holds a min b'mina afilu bela flow bato. So that's the Ritva.
So is he saying? So is the Ritva saying then that since Dioraisa, we see that it becomes a basar.
Right, the basar becomes also b'toras basar, not b'toras basar that's holding on to chol.
So therefore, when anything the rabbanan
that we don't know yet. Again, the Ritva is not. He's talking about chaticha nasas nevela. He's not talking about basar ov or chal. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but sounds like he's saying it, just to theorize beforehand. It sounds like he's saying that this bria that comes like that since the Torah defines it that way, the rabbanan would naturally not change that.
Well, because maybe like, you'd be tempted
not even
to say
it. Right. It's a matter of a definition that becomes,
right. But then you're going to have a problem in the case of Chal, because as we said before, the Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, that in Chal you could be Mitzarif the Basar itself to be in the second Tarovis to be Mavata L'Chol of B'Shishim. In other words, what the Rashba is, I'm sorry, what the Rambam is saying is that chaticha nasis nevela does not apply to basa b'chol d'rabbanan, right? Since it's chol of shchuta and it's not d'oraisa, we're not going to apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela, which means that it's not a chefzid isura, it's only carrying cholov in it, and now we can be mevatel cholov if we have shishim in the second tarovas. He says ayin shach simon kuf hey sivkot yud zayin. I mean, his mom's flying all over the place here, shachs and tazes in all directions. The Shach brings the Rashba. Now let's understand what's going on in Siman Kufei. there's a principle called Ein. Just one second. I'm sorry. Give me a second. I forgot what it's called right now. Ein cholav. I'm missing a word here. Yotzeis michaticha lechaticha below rotev. What does it mean? I have two solid substances, and now they touch each other, but there's no liquid as a vehicle for bishul. So to transfer the time. So what happens in Sima Kufhei? Chatichas basar habluah michalav. So now you have a piece of meat and it has chalav inside it, right? That's penetrated inside it. And now that piece of meat comes in contact with another piece of meat. So the Rashba quoted here by the Shach says, Eina oseres chaverta, there's another chatichas basar, binigia. Why?
There's no
liquid here. Hoil v'ein blia yotzeis michaticha lechaticha below rotev. I said ein cholav. I meant to say cholav balua, but he means any blia. I mean, that would apply to dam, or that would apply to nevela, trefa, whatever is the tama balua. That tama balua cannot affect or impact on another chaticha unless there's liquid. And that's called Ein Blias Isa Yotze Mechaticha Lechaticha below Rotev. Is Memela Gambit Tipas Cholov? So you have two pieces of meat. One of them has within it a Blia of Cholov. And now they come in contact with each other. Ein Tipas Cholov Yotze Is Mechaticha Sabosar Beli Rotev. That's the Shach in the name of the Rashba. Aval, says the Shach, Hara'a Varan. The sofer called a basar, sovrim shechaticha shel basar shebalua bo cholav oseres chaverta afilu b'negiyah bi'alma. All you have is negiyah. Says the Shach, why does the Ra'ah and the Ra'an why do they hold that the chaticha now prohibits, it generates an isa on the second chaticha? After all, the chalav, the tipas chalav, cannot be removed without rotev, and there's no rotev. It's negia between two chatichos. Says the Shach, me'achar shenesra chatichas basar mitipas chalav. Excuse me, harehi oseres chaticha acheres afal pisha boror shenakatam basar yisari b'chaticha acheres. In other words, as far as the tam cholav is concerned, we have a principle that says that a tam balua cannot be yotze michatich lechatich below rotev. That's as far as the tam balua is concerned. But as far as the tam of the basar is concerned, the tam of the basar can be yotzeis michatich lechatich b'negia b'alma, even without what? Even without rotev.
Why is that?
I don't know why it is now. Let me just get to the punchline. You can't ask me too many questions here. Okay. This is the first day that we're learning Basar B'Chalav, Alan, so go easy on me. But I'm just trying to get the idea here. What you're saying is that if there's an agia between two chatichos, one is asura and the other is mutter, again, assuming there's heat and so forth and so on, then there's going to be a possibility that the tam of the chatichas isur is, it contaminates, so to speak, it penetrates into the chatichas heter. But if you're trying to remove the tam that's inside the chaticha, for example, you have a chatichas basar heter that has a blia of nevela inside of it, then that blias nevela cannot be yotzeis to another chaticha through negia. You need rotev. Now, how do we apply that principle in the case of basar b'chalav? So on one end, you might say, well, let's apply the general rule to basar b'chalav as well. You want to get the tipas chalav to penetrate into the second chaticha with negia b'alma. Well, we have a principle that the tipas cholav is not going to be yotzeis michaticha sabasa without what? Without rotev. Comes along the Ra'ah and the Ran, and they say no, it will asa the other chaticha. Why? Because Kevan Shenesra, once this first chaticha of basar became asura based on the tipas cholav that was penetrated, harehi oseres es hachaticha afal pishe borur Shirak tama basar yisarid b'chaticha cheres. In other words, in the absence of rotev, which would normally pull out the bliya and transfer it over to the second chaticha, the only possibility here of transferring the tam from the first chaticha to the second is if the first chaticha is asura b'toras atzma. It is a chefta di surah. Comes along the Ran, and before him the Ra'ah, and they say that in the case of Basar B'chalav, it's not like the case that I gave you before, we have a Chatichas Basar that has a Bliya in it of what? Of Nevelo, Adam, or whatever it might be, but rather the Chaticha itself, Duch, in every fiber of the Chaticha, it's a Chaticha di Surah. So when you take two Chatichas Binagia, again, whatever the various conditions are, then the Tam could be transferred from one Chaticha to the other. We can't take out the Bliya through a Nagia without what? Without Rotev.
Only the Bliya.
Right, we can't take out the Bliya without Rotev, but we can take out the Tam of the Basar itself without Rotev. Again, maybe it's Kedei Klipa, you have to know if it's Kedei Natil. Again, I'm not going into all the details.
That's what I'm getting at.
But in a case where there are two Chatichos with an Agia, and one is the Vela and the other is Heter, there will be some impact on as a result of this Nagia. But in a case of a Chatichos Heter, that's Bolua Betocha Tama Isa. The Tama Isa is not pulled out unless you have this medium of a Rotev. Now, how do we view Basar B'chalav? If we classify Basar B'chalav as a piece of Basar that has a Tam Chalav of Balua in it, then I understand very well the Rashba. The Rashba is saying that in this case of Negiah below Rotev, there's no Iser. Why? Because you can't remove the Tam of Chalav from the first piece of meat to the second piece of meat in the absence of Rotev. But if on the other hand I view Basar B'chalav as what? As a chefta di surah, the entire basar is asur. Then I'm going to apply the other principle that if you have two chatichas of basar, then the taste of the chefta di surah, in this case, let's say it's nevela, will penetrate into the chefta di atera through negia bi'alma. Again, is it kedei klipa? Is it not? Again, that for that we have to know all of Hilchas Tarovas, which I don't expect you to know. And even if you do know it, don't tell me you know, because I don't know it.
But the Rashba is talking about at the time of Bishul. And every time there's Bishul with...
What do you mean at the time of Bishul? Bishul was in the first pot.
Yes.
Now you have a piece of basar that has in it a Bliya of Cholav. Now you take out that piece of meat and you attach it to another piece of meat which is Heter.
The Rashba says?
Says the Rashba, Garnet Ketrof, nothing took place, nothing happened. You have no problem.
Then,
why? Because you have to get the Tam of the Cholav out. And in order to pull out the Tam of the Cholav and let it penetrate into the second piece of meat, you need Rotev, and you don't have any Rotev.
Again,
that I don't know. Let's go slowly. Don't again, Alan. Let's just get the facts on the ground, okay? In the case of the Rashba is, and that's Simon Kufay in Shulchan Aruch, is where you take one chaticha and you attach it to another chaticha. If the first chaticha is asura midin bliya, machmas bliya, then if there's no rotev, the second chaticha is perfectly heter. The negia does not generate any iser. If on the other hand, the first chaticha is asura b'taras atzma, it's a chefza de nevela, then there is a tam of nevela that's going to penetrate into the second chaticha through negia without rotev. That's all I know. Now, based on all that knowledge, I would have said that if you have a chatichas basar, that's not nevela, but you cooked it with milk, now the milk penetrates into that chaticha, I would have said that when it has an negia with the second chaticha, then I have to ask you whether it's rotev or not. Why? Because I want to get the chalav out of the first chaticha in order to allow it to penetrate into the second chaticha. And that's exactly what the Rashba postulates. That if you don't have rotev, then one chaticha could not ask the other chaticha below rotev because it's an iser machmas bolua. However, the other Rishonim disagree. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why do they disagree? Because they hold that chaticha nasis nevela means that you've converted, you transformed this chaticha that has a bli of cholav into a chefta di surah. Now the basar itself is also b'toras basar, not b'toras blias cholav. Every fiber of the basar is also. And he writes that midivrei Rambam behilchos machlos asurus perek tes halacha tes mashmid gam hu sover kedas haraov veharan. The afal gav the efshal lahafrid bein abasar v'cholav, meaning you can separate the two.
Yeah, sure.
No, in this case you can separate between the two. Why? because since there's no rotev, then you're going to leave the chalav, which is balu and the basa, behind. You follow me by leave it behind? In other words, you're not able to pull it out without rotev. So in the absence of rotev, the chalav remains behind. So therefore, you've separated the rotev. I'm sorry, you've separated the chalav from the basar. Nevertheless, mikolakom osir sachaticha cheres. The Rambam holds that the first chaticha, even though there's no way of pulling out the cholov without rotev, nevertheless will infect, if you pardon the phrase, the second chaticha. Why? The second chaticha, because the chaticha nasis nevela. That's the unique definition of basa b'cholov. Basa b'cholov is not, according to the Rambam and the Ran, of this, an Isur Machmas Bolua. It's not that the basar is carrying, it's a carrier, and it has it in bad germs. It's got chalav that's carrying it. That's not the nature of the Isur. Because if that were the nature of the Isur, then if it fell into the second chaticha, you could be mitzarif the basar to the shishim in the heter in the second chaticha against the chalav, and you could be vatal the chalav. The answer is the Isur is not the chalav. The Isur became the basar, and that's called chaticha nasis nevela, which according to the Ritva makes it into a chepta di sura. So he says, "Bepshuto nira de nechleku rishon and begeder din chanan bebasa b'cholav harash besover kshenis arvu basa b'cholav zebazeh lo nasa kol echad bifnei atzmo kichepta di sura." Not like the Ritva that we saw before. Ela harei kol echad v'echad nidon ki iser bolua. That's how the Rashba understood Basa B'chalav. Again, we're going to have to ask the question how the Rashba understands Chaticha Natsis Nevela. Ulefichach ena Basa B'chalav Asurim Machmas Atzmam Ela Machmas Taroves Sholtam. Masha Enkein, in the case, he says, Kishanifridu Misa, if I could separate the Tam one from the other, if I could do a surgical procedure and I could remove one of the two Tamim, then what's left is Heter, because it is Heter. The only Iser here is because it's carrying within it the Bli of the other gender, whether it's Cholav or Basar. Masha Enkein, he says, according to the Rama and the Ra'o and the Ran, Verov Rishonim, he says, Al Yedeshin is Arev. We left one of the tamim behind because there's no rotev to transfer that tam. That's balua. Nevertheless, yishor b'isura v'osur misachaticha cheres. And he writes in the footnote that Ke'en Zeh B'Reb Chaim. So I don't know, I don't have access right now to Reb Chaim, but he says that's what he thinks he found in Reb Chaim. Now the Rav says the following. Let's go back to Basar B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. Remember, we have two cases of Basar B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. We have one case which is called Basar Of B'Cholav. We had a second case called Chal. The Nechleku Rishonim B'Nogea L'chaticha nasis nevela v'basa b'cholav d'rabbana. Let's review, let's just jolt our memories. We said that in Siman Tzadi, the Taz records a machlokes whether or not chaticha nasis nevela. So you cook the chal together with its milk, and now you take that entire contents, the volume of that pot, and you cook it in a second pot. Do you need shishim against the entire chal? And this is going to be a machlokas rishonim, and it's going to be a machlokas lalocha between the mechaber and the Ramah. The Ramah says, "I'm sorry. Let's start with the mechaber. Mechaber says you don't need shishim against the chal. The Ramah says you need shishim against the chal." Says Rav Salvechik, "What's the machlokas? I amrin chanan legavi basa b'chol derabbanan, and v'zot tluya begeder din basa b'chol derabbanan. What is basa b'chol derabbanan?" How far did the Rabbanan go when they said you can't eat this mixture which is only the Rabbanan, the Torah allows you to? Did they go as far as to say, well, this so-called basar, which is not really basar, unless it's oaf, we don't, but mid Rabbanan we consider it as basar, and now it absorbed the tam of cholov, and if that be the case, then what we have here is an iser machmas bulia. if you take that mixture now and you put it into a second mixture, you can apply shishim even from the basa, because it's only an iser machmas bolua o dilma, or should we say the other way? And Alan is already yelling and screaming, called the tikkun rabbanan came to oraisa tikkun, that what the rabbanan did was they established chanan even if basa b'chol of the rabbanan. And why? Because they established an iser machmas atzmo. And therefore the Mechaber paskins in Siman Tzadi that all you need in Kchal is Shishim, which is a tziruf of both the Kchal itself and the Basar Het in the second part. Mishum shelo nesar abasar b'toras psar iser el b'toras basar sheyesh bo b'lias cholav dahainu to be basar b'cholav derabbanon lo chal shem basar b'cholav. In other words, a new entity called Basar Vichalov. Ella Bitoras Iser Basar Vichalov. You hear what he's saying? This acute grammatical diuk. He's saying that really the name of Basar Vichalov to Rabbanon is not the same as the name of Basar Vichalov to Oraisa. According to the Shitas HaRambam and the Mechaber, that we don't apply Chanan to Basar Vichalov to Rabbanon. What the real name should be is not Basar Vichalov. Basar Vichalov is like a new entity, but rather Basar Vichalov. That's what he said. Da'ainu Basar Sheyesh Bo Blias Cholov. The Ilu HaRamah, the Ramah who says that we're going to apply Chanan even to the case of Basar Vichalov of the Rabbanon. So the Kchal, you need Shishim against the Kchal in the second Tarobes. HaRamah Sover, the Afbe Basar Vichalov of the Rabbanon, Nesar HaBasar B'Toras Psar Isur. V'dino Ki Isur Machmas Atzmo. U'mishum Hachi Amrinan, according to the Ramah, Haticha Nasis Nevela.
Would seem that
we're going to get back to the Isra Hanno.
It would seem that in the case of Kchal, though, there should not be a machlokas. It does whether you go say it's a Haticha Kanan or not, because.
Well, you want to argue against the Rashba? I don't know. Okay, don't play in Burzov for this.
Because Kchal is a special thing. It is saturated in the challah. Since it's saturated in the challah, the keneged would be the same. Where the volume would be the size of the
okay. So those are the details that you have to work out. But again, take a look if you have a chance in the Taz Simon Sadi Sifkat and Dalit. And the Taz writes that there's a machlokas the Rashba and the Rambam, which is a machlokas the Mechaber and the Ramah, as to whether or not you need shishim against the Kchal, whether or not we apply Chanan to Basar Vichalov of the Rabbanon. I have, if you need the shach, I have it here, it's on the other side of this wall.
Why would we be machmir like Chanan in addition to Rabbanon?
So that's what Alan is saying. Maybe it's not a. Are you talking about us Lamaisa, or you talking about the Rishon, like in the. In Lamaisa, maybe we'll apply something to Rabbanon Lakula, because we don't know how we paskin in a machlok shin, the machab, and the Rambah. But what I'm saying
why
is,
would
if,
the Rabbah meet Machmir?
Oh, so the Rabbah is based on Rishon, because they're saying, like Alan said before, called the Tikkun Rabbah and came to Oraisa when the Rabbah created this entity.
That's not so in all cases.
Correct.
The Rabbah came to Oraisa.
Correct. Okay, I understand. You're asking more of a what I call a philosophical question. Meaning, what motivated the Chachamim? Were they motivated to equate Basar Vichalov to Rabbanon with Basar Vichalov to Oraisa? Were they motivated to set it up as a new entity, but it's not the same as Basar Vichalov? You're asking questions about, you know, if we were all the rabbis sitting on the Beis Din HaGadol, which way should we vote? You know, election week. That's a pretty important question. But wait, let me just finish the punchline of this whole discussion. Al pizeish levayer, mashakosav a Rambam leinyan iser hana ubishol bebasav chalav derabbanon. In other words, I want to know: can I cook chicken with milk? The Rambam says, go ahead and cook as much chicken with as much milk as you want. That's not an iser bishol. Or let's say I cooked the basar of bechalav, and now I want to feed it to my dog. Feed it to your dog, says the Rambam. The Rambam also lishitaso the spirele the basa b'chol mi rabbanon lo chashiva kechefta the sura the basa b'chol. Right, the Rambam says you don't need shishim against the kchal. That was the Rambam pshita which the Mechaber accepts la halacha. And why is that? Because we don't apply Chanan to Bas V'chol V'drabbanan as we do to Bas V'chol V'doraisa. And the reason for that is because Bas V'chol V'drabbanan is a brand new entity. It's Machmas Bliya. It's that the Basar now is carrying within it a Bliya of Cholav. So all you have to do is be Mavata L'Cholav. So now that we've postulated that Bas V'chol V'drabbanan, according to the Rambam, is not a Cheftedi Sura, it's not really Bas V'chol, it's just Basar that's holding on to Cholav. So the Rambam created a new Isur. He has a fascinating footnote here in which he quotes the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav is machalik between Chometz in the 6th hour and Chometz in the 5th hour. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It's a very famous Brisker Rav. The halacha is that a Makadesh Esaisha b'Chometz d'Rabbanan is Eina Mekudeshes. And the poskim and the Rambam himself, I think, only polize that to Chometz in the 6th hour. Now Chometz is also in the 5th hour as well. Right, the Gemara says in a Yom HaMa'udon, it's a cloudy day, you might make a mistake of two hours, with the whole sugya there himself. I think we learned it here in this room, not that long ago. So the Brisker Rav says that if the Chometz is Truma, then come the 6th hour, you have to burn it. But in the 5th hour, you don't burn it. That's called Tolim. So the Brisker Rav says, you see that there's some difference here between Chometz in the 5th hour, Chometz in the 6th hour. They're both Asur v'Drabbanan. One is if Mekadesh and Isha in the 6th hour, it's Eina Mekudeshes. If Mekadesh and Isha with the 5th hour, it is Mekudeshes. Not only that, it goes even further. The Rama Paskins, that Chometz in the 5th hour, you can feed to your dog. I mean, it's Mutbana. In the 6th hour, which is only Drabbanan, you're not allowed to feed it to your dog. So the Brisker Rav is famous for saying, this is one of those classic, you know, Soloveitchik things. I'm lucky that Sam is not here today. He wrote me an email that he can't come today. Because he doesn't like these, you know, these jargons, the Brisker jargon. It doesn't sit well with him. But this is the famous Brisker Rav, that there's a fundamental difference between an Isa Cheftz and an Isa Gavra. And basically what the Brisker Rav says is that Chometz has a Cheftz of the Chometz, it's only in the 6th hour. That far the Rabbanan went. But they didn't go as far as to say that in the 5th hour it's a Cheftz of Chometz. They establish an Isa Gavra. It's a little bit similar to what you weren't here yesterday, Rabbi. We discussed Gzeira as opposed to the Isa Begufa. And Nafkaminis Lagabi Gzeira Lagabi Maris Ayan. And so we had a whole long discussion yesterday. If you get a chance, I'd love you to listen to it. It's, I think it's up on YU Torah. And there also we tried to differentiate between whether the Rabbanan imposed the same shame Isur and extended the Torah Isur onto this object, that makes it to a Cheftedi Surah, or they just said, you know, avoid it, so to speak, which in the Brisker Rav's lingo, which I tried to avoid yesterday because Sam was there, is called an Isa Gavra. But applying the you know, since Sam is not here, we have a free hand there. We can use the Brisker Rav's language here to apply it here. That there's a difference between Basa Mechol Doraisa and Basa Mechol Drabbanan. Basa Mechol Doraisa is a Cheftz Isur of Basa Mechol. It's a new entity. The Basa itself is Asur. Masha Einkein and Basa Mechol Drabbanan, that's already a separate Isa Gavra. Don't eat Basa, even though it's not really Cholav or it's not really Basa, right? Depending on your case. Because the Tama Cholav is Bolua in this Basa that's not really Basa, it's only Ov. Or, for example, the Cholav is not really Chof because it's a Shchuta. And that's what the Rabbanan is saying. They're addressing you and saying that you should avoid it. So, for example, I was wondering what would be the din if a person was Makadish and Isha with Basa Becholav the Rabbanan, with Ov Becholav, or with Chal that was cooked. Perhaps it would be Chayshin Eli Kedusha, because in that case the Rabbanan are not going to be Oker Kedusha Torah, because with the Raisa there's no status here of Basa Becholav. Ela what? It's only an Isa Gavra. It's like coming to the 5th hour according to the Brisker Rav. That's all according to the Rambam sheet. The Rambam holds that Chometz, Basa Becholav the Rabbanan, is not an Iser Machmas Atzmo, it's rather an Iser Bolua. Therefore we don't apply the principle of Chanan as far as Bittul in the second Taroves to the case of Basa Becholav d'Rabbanan, that's the case of Chal. The Marshal, on the other hand, so one second, I skipped the punchline. So what's the punchline? So the Rambam says that when the Rabbanan organized and orchestrated a brand new Isur called Basa Becholav d'Rabbanan, and again, it doesn't have the same dinim according to the Rambam as Basa Becholav d'Oraisa, it's not a Cheftz Isur, there's no Chanan, they established an Isur Achila. But they never extended it to an Isra Anah and Bishal. Why? Because they're creating a whole new category. So they have raised, what should I say, free hand. What's it called in French? They have Laissez-faire, carte blanche. Excellent. They have carte blanche. You know, they can decide to what extent. So they took the Ikar Iser Bas Mechalov, and that's Achila, and they superimposed it on Bas Mechalov Drabbana. But they didn't go as far as to say that this is a Heftu Disura of Bas Mechalov, and therefore it's Mutter Bahana Ubibisho. Ubishitas Amar Shal, the Af Bas Mechalov Mirabbanan, Nesar. Behano ubibishol yeshlomer the sfilei lemarshal the gamim basim bchalov derabbanon aser machmas atzma. So now we can add ki osa dea that we apply chanan to basim bchalov derabbanon in the case of chal the mirabbanon dino kechefte the basim bchalov meila who nesa mirabbanon bchal yisuri basim bchalov doraisa both achila Hana and Bishul. It's a beautiful piece. Again, you know, it's this is such a gebaita. You know, it's such a healthy piece that you sort of kick yourself and say, "Why didn't I say it?" You know what I'm saying? It's what I call glatt. You know, it's very healthy. Again, you have to be oriented in the approach here, but you know, it's the Ritva who broke new ground here by identifying Hanan as a chaticha di sura, and the Basar itself is also, and therefore Chaticha Nas is the veil. You're going to need Shishim against the Basar itself. And the other nafkami is whether the Basar Binigia could ask for another Chaticha Basar. If you're saying it's Machmas Bilua, then we say ain't Bilua Yotze below Rotev. So there's no Rotev here. You can't get the Cholav out. But if you're saying the Basar itself is also in and of itself, then it's a case of two Chatichas that touched each other. And again, if all the conditions are met, then you don't need Rotev in the case of a Dover Gush. That's as far as I got last night.
When the Marshal says something, it's always
Mechumah. Oh, really? He's always the Machmir?
No matter what he's.
All right, I'm going to challenge you on that, Rabbi. But again, ask me in about 6 months when I know something about possible.
Can I ask something basic that I'm missing a piece of knowledge here? And that is, where do we know? How do we know that Oph is not Basar?
I didn't learn that sugya. That's on Kuf Zion, I think. If you want, I could go through that sugya. But I again, you're embarrassing me by asking me a question that I can't possibly answer. You know, the Gemara says in Shabbos that Rebbe ki koi b'hai mesichta al tishali mesichta acheres. And Rashi says mishum ki sufa, you'll embarrass him. So I once heard from Rapanis, you know, Rav Yehuda Parnas. So he said that that's true in the days of Chazal. For Rav Yehuda Nasi, you can't ask him from one mesichta to the other. But in Bismanenu, you can't ask him from one daf Gemara to the next daf Gemara. That's what he said. It's the same ki sufa applies.
No, the reason I'm asking.
Now, if you're asking me that question,
Rabbi Yehuda had it right yesterday. Rabbi Akiva.
You mentioned Rabbi Akiva. Yossi Aglili, no?
It's also Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold that Basar Oph is not considered Basar.
Yeah,
but that's only as far as Basar Bechalov is concerned. It's very interesting because Rabbi Akiva himself agrees that in other dinim, Oph is considered Basar. So, for example, if I take a neder that I won't eat Basar, then I'm not allowed to eat Oph according to Rabbi Akiva. So you have to know in many different sugyas what the deal would be according to Rabbi Akiva as far as the status of Oph is concerned. But let me just if you give me a minute to breathe here, just one minute to breathe, if you have a little rachmanis on me, I just want to quote to you a footnote here where he sends you to this issue about what's the status of Oph. The first Rashi in our chapter Kol HaBosar says the following: the Afal Gav the Omer Achmana Gidi, which is a behema, Hu Adin L'Chayav the Oph, Umiflag Pligi Bol L'Kaman. The Gemara is going to have Machlokas later on, so again you're going to have to fast forward by 10 blot Gemara. I'll make a Siyum on one blot Gemara. Rav Chalap from YU told me once, Rav Zvulun, that his grandfather wrote an entire Sefer on one blot Gemara Masechet B'choros. On one blot Gemara. So Halavai will finish this blot at the beginning of Perek Kol HaBosar. He says, Umiflag Pigile L'Kamon, this is at the very end of Kol HaBosar, Ikalaman the Omer Do'oraisa, that when the Torah says Gedi, it includes even Chayav Of, and that's a Do'oraisa. Ikalaman the Omer Do'rabbanon. So I'm just giving you that Maramukha, which is the first Rashi in the Perek. So Rashi's telling you that in order to know anything, you have to know everything. So you have to know the end of the Perek in order to know the beginning of the Perek. However, what I can tell you is that he tells you here in the footnote that they're very psukim, and the issue is whether the Torah and Tanakh in general considers oaf to be basar. He says that in Lashon Bnei Adam, oaf is considered basar. I'm not sure why that's so, I don't know. But he says, therefore, if I send you on a shlichus to buy me basar, and you don't find any meat in the shuk, you have to consider the possibility of buying chicken for me, because in Lashon Bnei Adam, chicken is also included in basar, although in Lashon Torah, that's not necessarily so.
In Lashon Torah, you see it is, because...
Yeah, okay, so that's the Sugya Daf Kufi Gimel, and I'm not going to try it in my hand at that. But remember, we started with the
Sugya... In Daf Yomi today, yesterday.
Okay, great. I'm glad to know, Herb, that you learned Daf Yomi. I'm very proud of you.
I tried to do something.
How many cycles have you gone through, Herb?
Number six.
Wow. So you should know Shas Baal Peh.
Yeah.
No, I mean it seriously.
Yeah, I know Shas
six times.
I can give you a list of all the Gemaras, you know.
Oh, a list of
starting from Brat to the Shabbos.
Yeah. You know, they ask somebody a question. They say, he comes to the Rosh Yeshiva, says, he's for testing for the Fahir. He says, I know half a shot. So every time he asks a question, he says, that's the other half.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Bishal Achar Bishal, right? That's what we started with. He quotes here Chidusha Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Oh, what time is it? Ooh, let's learn a little bit of Shnayim Ochsim. Is that okay? You look disappointed, Yosef.
Rabbi Akiva Eiger is insulted. You mentioned him.
All right, I'll mention Rabbi Akiva Eiger.
That's parulous.
Yeah. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says the following. Chaticha shenichbisha, that's kavush. So he took a piece of meat and he soaked it in milk. Osur levashla, you're not allowed to cook it. The adkan havi iser kavush dirabanan. Before he cooks it, the meat with the milk is only dirabanan. The ato with an ayin over al iser bishul doraisa. This is Rabbi Kiveger in the name of the Shari Dura. V'diek hagon Rabbi Kiveger mimenu. The mashma the imkvar nisbashla hacholov hachaticha becholov mutar lachzor ulavashla. So let's go over this. If it was only kovush and now he cooks it, that's awesome, because kovush is only drabbanon. But if it was already cooked, then he could cook it a second time. The ein bishol achar bishol.
How do you get that?
Again, should we go through the deal? He's saying that the reason why it's also to be mavashal, that's the Shari Dura, is because kovish is only the Rabbana.
Right. So it's obvious.
Implying that if it would have been Doraisa, then you could cook it a second time. No, we don't?
I understand the inference, but I don't agree with it.
Why?
Why? Why? Is there a problem?
One or the other. He's making a general statement that if you have a Rabbana and you do it in your mavashal, it becomes the Doraisa Sasser.
Right. And the Bishul is also, but why is that so? I mean, why not just say if there was Bishul Doraisa, he would be enjoined from cooking it again? Why does he say that the reason why he's allowed to cook it? I'm sorry, the reason why he's forbidden in cooking it a second time is because the first cooking was only Drabbana. Why not go a step further?
Not even if the first cooking wasn't considered cooking.
It wasn't cooking.
No, he says that Abikovush Midrabbana.
Right.
Okay, now.
Why Midrabbana? Because Midrabbana is not considered cooking the same way by Matzah.
Midrabbana, it's not considered cooking.
I mean, Midrabbana is
not considered cooking. So now, if it would have been. Isn't he implying that had it been considered cooking Doraisa, you'd be allowed to cook it? Again, the Shari Dura is saying the only problem here is that the first cooking is only the Rabbana.
It's not cooking.
The reason is, first of all, it's not cooking, there's no bishul. Second of all, it's basar im chala. And when you cook
Again, Rabosai, if you want, I don't see the point of arguing with Rabbi Kiveger. Again, let's read it again. V'diek mimenu agon Rabbi Kiveger, the mashma im kvar nisbashla chaticha b'cholov, mutar lachzor levashla. He's only saying that this was not bishul, but now that there was bishul, he could cook it again. The ain bishlacha bishul. I don't know why we should be skeptical. To me, that's a mathematical conclusion. Okay. Ulam. Ayin Ramah, the Ramah and Simon Pei Zayin Sif Vav, the Lo Mashma Hachi. It doesn't seem that he accepted this principle of Ein Bishalach HaBisha. How does the Rav know that? Sharei Kosav, he writes, the Yesh Omrim Sha'asur Lachtos Ha'esh. Remember we discussed this yesterday? Chitui means stirring. Tachas Kedera Shal Akum. Who did we quote for that? That was the Shulchan Gemara in the name of the Tshuvas Rabbeinu Baruch. Correct, on page Reish Samach in the Moreshes Moshe. Let's just go over that. Also Levashal B'Kedera Shal Nachri. And here he's doing Chitui. Again, we had questions exactly what the reality was, exactly what the scenario was. Yesh Omrim says the Ramah, the also lactos ha'esh tachas kedera shal akum lefishayim mevashlim ba pa'amim chalav upa'amim basar.
Okay.
V'hamachate tachas kedera shalahem bali day isav bishul bebasar b'chalav. Again, Rabosai, keep in mind that he's not entering at this point into our whole, you know, it's not fair if we cloud our minds with all the discussions that we had here about the case where the basar itself was already cooked, the challah was already cooked. Leave that all out for a moment. Just let's get the surface level. He's saying the following, that if now he's using this kedera of an akum, like lefamim, sometimes are you mevashlim ba chalav, lefamim are you mevashlim ba basar. Now says the Ramah, if he's going to do chitui, again, I'm assuming. Again, I don't want to go into all the details here because that's going to be for tomorrow. I've got to leave something for tomorrow, right? My father used to always teach me, be very stingy. You know, if you have a drasha, and it could be an hour's drasha, give it as a half hour, then give it tomorrow. I never was makabel then, but anyway, that's what my father taught me. So he says, let's assume that now he's got parva stuff in the kedera. He's going to mix a tam of basar and a tam of cholov in the kedera, right, through the cooking process. And now when he does chitui, he's now coming lidei bishul basar b'cholov. So again, we have to go through the Ramah inside. Okay, the Rabosai, so we paid our debt to Rabbi Kiveger, and now we pay our debt to Azariah Berzon, and we're going to learn a little bit of Eilut Metzius. Okay, then?
Before that, I want to be your father.
Oh, Shnayim Ochsen. Sorry, I made this mistake over and over again. So whenever I say Shnayim Ochsen, whenever I say Eilut Metzius, cross it out, you know what I mean? Shnayim Ochsen.
You know, okay, your father was right, Rebbe, in what he said.
For sure he's right.
No,
because what are you going to do tomorrow if you give it all today?
No. It's the Pharisee at the end of Zeth's Megillah.
The dental joke about what
a dental joke?
Have you seen these older people when they fold their talisim, they put a corner in the mouth and they fold their talisim?
They put what in their mouth?
A corner of the talis in the mouth.
A corner, C-O-R-N-E-R. Yeah. A corner, yeah.
So there's a marker in the Mishnah. Shinayim Ochsen
Metalis. Very good. Shinayim Ochsen Metalis. Excellent. So we're talking about a talis shel hefker, and two people are holding on to it. Each one claims that he found it, and if he got there first, then kol hakodem zocha, he was zocha. The Mishnah goes on to give us a second case, which is a little bit more complicated. Ze omer kula sheli, ze omer kula sheli. So we're not talking about a case of a lost talis that was found. That's already covered in the first case, Elmer Animitz Asiya. But in the second case, the claims of the various Bali Tviya are Kulishali and Kulishali. Which might mean that I never sold it to you, or it might mean that I bought it from you, whatever the case may be. Zei Shava She'en Ba Pochos Michetzio. Now, this shvua, Rashi points out, is derabbanan. Normally, we have a shvua d'oraisa in a case of modu b'miksas, but here it's kofra kol. This one's saying it's mine, and this one's saying it's mine. So why did derabbanan institute this shvua? That's going to be the sugya sagemara.
What is this hypocrisy?
Number two, why is it that each one takes a shvuah she'ein lo bo pachas mi'chetzi? Normally when you take a shvuah, it's to support your claim. You claim the entire talus is yours, and here you're only taking a shvuah on half the talus. So now we quote the shita of the Bali Atosis. The Bali Atosis claim the following, and then we're going to get into this as we get along. Tiknu chachamim she'al kol echad me'em lihishava v'nusach ha'shvuah and he says the following: the nusach of the shvua reflects the fact that kfimashu asid lekabel, what he's going to receive at the end of the day, al pi psak shel yachloku, the shvua should at least support what he's going to get. We're not going to give him more than half the talis, so let him take a shvua on half the talis. Ubigumara yivur lama tiknu chachamim es hashvua zos. The chachamim made this takon of a shvua, and we're going to explain in the Gemara itself why. Now we go on to the sefer of the Mishnah. Zeh omer kula shali v'zeh omer chetzia shali. This one is admitting that half of the talis belongs to his friend, and his claim on that half of the talis is correct. But he's denying the second half of the talis. So if one is claiming the entire talus and the other is claiming half the talus, we're going to give 3/4 of the talus to one, 1/4 of the talus to the other. On half the talus there was never a debate, there was never an issue, so that half of the talus is automatically rewarded to one of the two claimants, and that he may even actually have a chazak on it that's based on Rabbi Chiya, which comes up later. So now we have Shnayim Oksim Bechetzi Shalatalis, because on the other half, we have a claim of mine and a claim of mine. Each one is claiming the entire second half is mine. So what we can do with the second half is we're going to split it. And once again, the Nusach HaShvua here will have to be equivalent to what he's going to get. That's the Shita Satosis. So one of them is going to get 1/4 of a talus. So Zayi Shavah Shein Lo Bo Pachos Mi Revia. The other is going to get 3/4 of the talus, and therefore Zayi Shavah Shein Lo Bo Pachos Mi Shlosha Chalokim. And that's the way we're going to divide up the talus. Okay, that's the first half of the Mishnah, and now we'll learn the Sugya Sagamara, and then we'll come back to the second half of the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah have to describe two different scenarios? Lisnei chada. Why didn't the Mishnah just say that in both cases we're going to paskin yachloku? And what the Gemara could have done was, the Mishnah, that's what the Gemara is asking, it could have said that each one said either animat sasiya, or he was claiming kula shali. That both claims really come down to the same. That he's claiming what? The entire talus. The entire talus. So if the Mishnah is giving two different scenarios in which he claims the entire talus is mine, the Mishnah should have combined them with one psak. It shouldn't have said ze omer animit sasiya v'ze omer animit sasiya, period. He could have said ze omer animit sasiya v'kulo shali, or ze omer animit sasiya v'kulo shali. So the Gemara says chada ketan. The Gemara says that the way you read the Mishnah is the following: ze omer animit sasiya v'kulo shali, ze omer animit sasiya v'kulo shali. So the Gemara says, then why do you have to have two cases? Listen, animit sasiya, if he's claiming he found the talus, I know by myself that it's kula shali. If you're combining it into one case and he's saying animit sasiya, therefore it's kula shali, I know that if he's claiming he found it, it's his. So the Gemara says, itana animit sasiya, if it didn't add the extra two words of kula shali, Havan mina, I would have thought, my mitzasiya, what does it mean I found it? Re'isiya. I saw it. That each one is moda, that chavero higbiya rishon, kolachem moda shechavero higbiya rishon. They're arguing about who saw it first. The Afal Gav says the Gemara to Lo Asil Yodei. He didn't get a chance to pick it up. This is all the Havamina. Biriya bi Alma Kani. With sight alone, he makes a kinyan on a Metzia. And that's what we would have said if it would have said Anim Tzasia. So Tosus already asked the question, Biriya bi Alma Kani.
No Kana.
Where?
How can it be such a Havamina that he was Kona Biriya? Katani Dimasti, so we have a Mishnah later on in Daftes. Ra'as HaMetziah, if he saw the Metziah, and then he tells his friend to pick it up for him, it says, Lo Kona Biriya. His friend could be Kona for himself, or somebody else could come along and take it, even though somebody saw it. Or, for example, the Mishnah says later on, Ra'as HaMetziah V'Nafal Aleha, which means that he didn't make an actual Kenyan, is Katani De Lo Kona. So Tosa wants to know, how could you square this Havamina with all those Mishnayos that say explicitly that you don't achieve a Kinyan with Re'iyah? So he says, Motzi Lemitchi, we can reject those proofs. Keva di Omer T'Nali, since he went ahead and he said, bring it to me. Oshen Nafal Aleha, is Gila Daite, he reveals his Das, Delo Nichale Lemikni, Anshi Agil Yodo. Then he doesn't want to be Kona B'Re'iyah. So again, Re'iyah itself would be a Kinyan, but if he expresses a statement, a declaration that indicates that he doesn't want to be Kona B'Re'iyah, in other words, Tosus is saying that you need Das Kona, not just on the Chalos Kinyan, meaning on the ownership, but also on the Maisa Kinyan. What would be the Maisa Kinyan? You could be koned in two ways. You can either be koned through Re'iyah or through Hagbah. So if he declares that he wants to have the object in his hands, or he decides he wants to fall on the object, then he's indicated to us that he doesn't want to be koned through Re'iyah. For Hadi Amrina B'Perek Bayis Habayis V'Aliyah, that's at the very end of the Masechta, Habata behefker kani. So the Gemara says that Re'iyah ba'alma is only a havamina. If it would have said anim tzasiyah without kula shali, bolamas kana, the Mishnah is telling me that Re'iyah lo kani. But the Gemara says in habayis v'aliyah that habata behefker kani. The Tosfos says, you know what it means? Habata behefker kani, the asa maisa kolduhu kigon shegader gader katan, that he set up a fence around the object that was found, the hefker object. Meaning, he didn't do a complete kinyan, he didn't pick up the object, but he set up a gader in which no one else can have access to the object.
Is gader katan?
He calls it a gader katan.
I mean, it's not really a good gather.
Right. But he says it's enough to establish a kinyan in hefker. So that although in Ilchus Kinyanim, if you want to be machna something to me, I can't just put up a fence around it. I have to do what we call a kinyan yad. But in the case of hefker, it's sufficient if he makes a gather cut.
Before you say this,
but Riyah is not enough.
There's a difference between habata and Riyah.
Right. So habata means more than just Riyah. And habata in this case, habata means that he set up a gather. But if it's only Riyah.
Right. Two different things.
Right. Now, where do we find such a thing as a Kinyan Re'iyah? And where do we find such a thing as a Kinyan Habata? So if you take a look on Daf Yud, the Gemara has a sugya which is called Dalet Amos Shal Adam Konosla. And that's Takonis Chachamim. That even though he doesn't own a chatzer here, so he can't be kona mitzad chatzer, if a metziah falls into a radius of arba amos, then the rabbanon establish a kinyan called arba amos.
Rishus Rabbah.
Even in Rishus Rabbah.
Well, how about
Rishus HaYachid and someone else's Rishus HaYachid, then you have no Rishus to go in there, and the Bala Chatz is Kona. But if it's Rishus HaRamim,
you can't make someone else's Rishus.
And the reason why the Chacham made this Takon is because the Lo Atzilin Tzuye, meaning that if something falls and everybody's going to jump on it and try to beat themselves up, so the Chacham say the first one who's within Dalet Amos, he makes a kinyan, and that's called a kinyan daladamas. So Rashi on Daf Yud in Masechta Matzia tells us why is it that the Chachamim instituted what? Not why. I'm not asking a motivational question, but rather, what's the gedder hadavar that the very moment that it's within his Dalet Amos, he's Konan. So Rashi says the following: in Yesh Svivosa of Dover Hefker, if within a radius of his the point at which he's standing, this Hefker, Ein Acher Rashoy L'Tofso. No one else is allowed to take it, right? Because again, the Rabbanu wanted to establish Seder, you know, not anarchy, which everyone rips it out of everyone's hands or jumps on it, and so on. What they said is, if it's already within a radius of four amas of so-and-so, of Shimon, then Reuven, you're not allowed to take it. That's how Rashi defines it. Ein acher rashoy l'tofso. So it's very interesting. He hasn't made a kinyan by taking the object into his rishus, according to Rashi. I mean, you could have said that Dalet Amos becomes min Rabbanu Yochatzet. But that's not how Rashi's learning it. Rashi's saying that the kinyan is based on the fact that Ein Acher Rashoy L'Tofso, as if to say the Rabbanon imposed upon all the other people walking in Rishus HaRabim an Isur, that they're not allowed to take it because it's already within the four Amos radius of this person.
But he's not called it yet.
By definition, in Shnai Moksim, they're both in the same Dalet Amos.
Again, I wasn't trying to tell you, please don't misunderstand me, that the case of Shnai Moksim is the case of Dalet Amos. What I was just trying to show you is that just like Tosis says that in Hefker, you can have a kinyan that you didn't even take the object into your Rishus.
Uh-huh.
It's Habatim Hefker Kani means that in Hefker you can set up a gather around it, and that's enough to be Kona Hefker. So I'm quoting to you this Rashi or Daf Yud that I think reflects the sheet of Tosus, the understanding that there is such a thing as a kinyan in which I don't take it into my Rishus. Rashi doesn't say that the Dalet Amos is my Rishus, it's a Rishus of Rabin, but by excluding other people, that itself generates a kinyan. So it's not a positive kinyan, it's sort of like a negative kinyan. The kinyan is a result of excluding other people. Rashi says, Ein Acher Rashoy L'Tofso.
In Hefker, there's no Das Machne.
Correct, there's no such thing as Das Machne. But not only that, in a case where you need Das Machne, you have to take the object into your Rishus. So what's saying about Hefker is that since there's no owner on this object, you don't have to take it into your Rishus. What you do have to do is what? Exclude other people. How do you exclude other people? So in one case, it's within Dalet Amos. In another case, which is called Habatim Efker Kani, he sets up a gadar around it. And once he sets up a gadar, he's pushing people out. I'm not equating the two cases, but do you follow the conception?
So it's similar to Nal Gadar Paratz.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Well, Nal Gadar Paratz means that he's actually creating a kinyan. Why? Because he's showing that he's the Bailim over it. In the case of Dalet Amos, he's not indicating that he's the Bailim over it. But when the Rabbanan imposed upon all the other people in Rishus HaRabim and Issa that they can't take it from him, that itself creates a kinyan.
Why?
But in what case does that create a kinyan? Only in the case of Hefker. So Dalet Amos would not be Konan anything but Hefker. And how does the kinyan operate? What's the mechanics of the kinyan? Rashi says, Ein Acher Yechol Tosa. So if we exclude others, then by process of elimination it becomes mine. We don't have such a kinyan. In kinyanim, we don't have a concept that if I exclude others, it becomes mine. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that you do what's called a hafkanat ba'alut. You know, you have to demonstrate that this is yours, and that means you take it into your rishus. It's not just enough to exclude the others. So for example, if you want to be machnet something to me, and I stand there with a shotgun, and I say, anyone who comes within a radius of four hamas, I'm going to shoot him dead, I don't have a kinyan on this. But in the case of Hefker, there's a concept called excluding others. And that itself is going to create a positive kinyan on Hefker. And that's what I think Tosis has in mind here in the case of Habata. Our case in the Sugya Bamitzi is Re'ia without Habata, meaning he didn't set up a god there and he didn't exclude anyone. He wants to claim that he made a kinyan through Re'ia. What was the Havamina that you could be kona something with Re'ia? I mean, Bishlema, I understand the Havamina of excluding others in Hefker, but Re'ia doesn't exclude anybody. In the case of Dalet Amos, Rashi says, Ein Acher Yochel Tofso, and it works in Hefker. In the case of Riyah Ba'alman, Hamotah Yu'alman, Tos says he set up a God there, and he excluded others. But here, the Gemara is obvious that Re'iyah B'Alma is a kinyan. That's a pella. What logical Talmud Chacham, you know, I'm not talking about an Amoritz. An Amoritz can say anything. He can say the Re'iyah B'Alma Kani. But within the framework of Halacha, it's enough to say that in Hefker, you go beyond and you say that there's a negative kinyan in Hefker. You don't have to make a positive kinyan, take it into your rishus and demonstrate your ownership. You just have to shoo away everybody else. You have to exclude everybody else. That I understand. But Re'iyah, I mean, what excludes anyone else in the case of Re'iyah? Very strange.
Isn't that the Havamina?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to understand the Havamina. I mean, the Mishnah went out of its way, Rav Yehuda Nasi, to add three words here. O Kula Shali, Lafuki from what? From some Talmud who doesn't know beans about Halacha? You understand my question? You know, Havamina should also be something that's a Chetika realist comedy.
So it's the Tzorah. It's impossible to go and get the thing until you've seen it first. So having seen it is the beginning of the Tahlich of getting it.
Is there somewhere in Halacha where seeing is the beginning of a Tahlich? That's what I want to know. So I just want to mention a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara asks about why Moshe Rabbeinu was so taiv to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara raises the question, V'chilecho mipiri v'sbo mituva b'i Moshe, as Moshe wanted to taste the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Ela omar Moshe, harve mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz, v'lo yiskaimu ela al yod. So I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, he asked, what does it mean, yiskaimu al yod? If Moshe Rabbeinu enters into Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be enough for yiskaimu al yod? I mean, obviously we need a process of kibush, and we need 7 years of kibush, then we need 7 years of chiluk, and then we're going to engender kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and then the mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz. But just because Moshe crosses over the Yarden, therefore his mitzvah is yiskaim al yodi. So the Rav wanted to suggest that maybe it means that Moshe Rabbeinu would be in charge of the kibush, and instead of appointing Yoshua as the military leader of this military campaign, Moshe Rabbeinu would serve as the leader. And as a result of the kibush, that would engender Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, and all the mitzvahs that depend upon Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael would be miskayim al yod. But the Rav went on to say that he doesn't understand the maskon. The Gemara says in Sota, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? God addresses Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, climb up the Levanon, the Harazer, saw Einechere, you know, take a look at the land. So Moshe Rabbeinu never enters into the land, but he sees the land. So the question that the Rav addressed is, did that satisfy Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter into the land. So Hashem says, well, climb up to a high point and look at the land. So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest the following. That Moshe Rabbeinu has a special status, that he could sanctify the land of Eretz Yisrael through Re'iyah. That if he would see the land, again this has to do with metaphysics, Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to attach a certain sanctity to the land simply as a result of Re'iyah. I don't remember all the embellishments that the Rav said. This was after a shir in Boston. You know, we used to go up to Boston for the summons. In any event, here's a case, Yosef, where maybe Re'iyah is the beginning of a process. In other words, the first level of Kiddush, not the ultimate Kiddush, which requires Kibush, would be effectuated by Moshe's Re'iyah. That Moshe has a power of Re'iyah that can penetrate into the land itself. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to explain how that does, but it begins a process of sanctification. The ultimate sanctification is through Kibush and Chiluk. And the mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz will not apply until after that 14-year period. But the beginning of the process of kibush, of kiddush, would be with Moshe Rabbeinu's re'iyah. So I was thinking that maybe that could be a precedent for re'iyah being the beginning of some sort of process here. So it could be that at the end, they're going to fight it out, but at least through re'iyah, he already establishes what we call an exclusion of someone else. In other words, maybe the Gemara thinks that in Hefker, since Hefker operates with a different set of premises, right? It's not a positive kinyan in which you take it into your rishus, then what you want to do is exclude something. If your re'iyah can have an impact, and you're claiming that this is mine, even though you haven't made a kinyan on it, that's enough to exclude everyone else. And that's the beginning of a process of kinyan And the Gemara thinks that that could exclude other people from their rights to be Kohen of the Hefer.
Which one of the Baladinim is Moshe?
He was doing it.
I'm suggesting that Moshe Rabbeinu might be a precedent for this concept of Kiddush. Through what? Through Re'iyah. And here also, maybe I can achieve some sort of element of Kinyan only in Hefker. The Gemara doesn't think that if I look at your object, I can be Konin. Right? Let's say you have Das Mak, then I have Das Konin, and I look at your object. That was never a Havami. Rebbe didn't have to come Lafuki. But in Hefker, where we see that Hefker operates with a whole different set of premises, and in Hefker you could establish a Kinyan by excluding others. Again, you have to really exclude others in the physical world by doing a Maisa Koldu, Tosa says, setting up a Goder. Or in the case of... the Kinyan Dalet Amos, where the Rabbanan had to impose an Easter on everyone else, she'enom yichol litfos, they can't grab onto the object. Well, once you exclude others, that might be enough for Kinyan in Hefker. So you see that in Hefker there are different Gedarim, different definitions and requirements of Kinyan. So maybe there was a Havamina that even Re'iyah alone would give him rights to collect to the exclusion of others, and that would eventually become a Kinyan. So Gemara asks the following question: Mimatzis Amr, can you say Maimitzasir Re'isiha? Who would have a Havamina that Mitzisiyah means Re'isiyah for Amr Avina? We have a statement of Avina. The Pasuk says, L'chol Avedas Achicha Shatove Mimenu Mitzasa. Meaning that when are you chayav in Hashavas Aveda, it's only umitzasa. Says Ravina, what does umitzasa mean? The asoy liyade mashma. What the word umitzasa means, that it came into his possession, came into his hands. There will be no chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. Again, you have to know about lotuchalis alim. That's a different issue. But as far as the mitzvahs say of hashev teshivim, it's not chal with re'iyah. It's only chal with hagbah. It's only when you lift up the object. Why? Because Ravina says that the word mitzasiyah means that you lifted up the object. The asa liyade mashma. However, that's as far, says the Gemara, of umitzasiyah dekra. You cannot always assume that when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi authors the Mishnah, that the Lashon HaMishnah is exactly the same as the Lashon HaMikra. So in Lashon HaMikra, Ravin is right. Umitzasa means, Mitzia means that I take it into my hands. But although that's true with regard to Mitzasiyah Dekra, Mitzasa Dekra, the Asi Liyadei Mashma, Miu, Tana Lishna Di Alma Notu. Now let's try to understand what that means, Tana Lishna Di Alma Notu. It means that the Mishnah is using the language of a Tovad Nitba, meaning when a person comes into Bezin and he says, this talis is mine, and why? Because I need Mitzasiyah, what is he claiming? And it could be possible that in Lashon Bnei Adam, what he meant to say, and the message he's conveying to the person, is Ani Reisia. Umid Chazile, Omar No Ashkeche. As soon as he saw it, and he was the one who saw it first, he claims, I found it first. But what does the word finding mean? So in the Torah's language, finding means the Asiliyade. But in the language of the Bnei Adam, of the Tovan and Nitba, or for that matter, the language that's codified by review, the Nasi and the Mishnah, I saw it first, I found it first. And you see how serious the Gemara is about this Havamina, that Riyah B'Alma Kani. He's there for Tani Kula Shali. The Mishnah went out of its way to add Kula Shali to teach us that B'Riyah B'Alma Lo Kani. Now the Gemara asks another question. V'lisni Kula Shali V'lo Boy Animitzasiya. Why doesn't the Mishnah just drop Animitzasiya? Let the Mishnah just talk about Kula Shali. Itana Kula Shali Havamina B'Alma Dikatani Mitzasiya B'Riyah B'Alma Kani L'chein Tani. Therefore the Mishnah says Animitzasiya V'Hadar Tani Kula Shali. To be Mishnah Yisera Ashmeina D'Riyah Lo Kani. So we need the extra part of the Mishnah in order to make sure that we don't make a mistake and assume that Animitzasiya could mean B'Riyah B'Alma Kani. Now Rabosai, let me ask you the following question. in a case of a shvua of moda b'miksas, the shvua is doraisa. We're saying that in our Mishnah, the shvua is only a takanas chachamim. Now, why wouldn't this be a case of moda b'miksas? What do I mean, moda b'miksas? He's saying that the entire talus is his, but ultimately, he's going to have to admit that that he only gets half the talus. Why?
But moda b'miksas has to be in response to a taina, and there's no taina here.
Well, you're saying it's kulishali, and I'm being moda that half of it is yours. So that would be a shvut d'oraisa, correct?
Yes.
If you claim the entire talus is yours and I'm moda on half the talus, that's moda b'miksas. In this case, is it moda b'miksas? Well, he says no. You don't own any of the talus, correct? So he's denying the whole claim. However, do you remember we said that the shvua is ainli but pachos mi'cheskes, which means that he has to know up front that he's not going to get the other half of the talus. So he really doesn't have any grasp on the other half of the talus. He only has a grasp on half the talus. So if he's holding on to half the talus, and the other fellow, his sadsha kenegdo, is holding on to the other half of the talus, that itself is moda b'miksas. Why? Because since you're holding on to the other half of the talus, I have no legal claim to that other half of the talus. The best I can hope for is the half of the talus that I'm holding on to, because we have a principle called chazaka kol mashitakas yadom shalohu. And therefore, as far as the other half of the talus which you're holding on to, clearly I have no claim on that half. And that's why the Mishnah says Yachloku, and that's why the Mishnah says you take a Shmua, Eli Bo Pachos Mi, Mi Chetzi.
Why do both of those?
So why isn't that called the Shmua Doraisa of Modu Mimiksas?
Well, if it was Shmua Doraisa, why would both have to take it? Only one should have to take it.
Well, each one is Modu Mimiksas to the other one.
It doesn't matter. I mean, once one makes his Shmua, one says he's Kulishali, the other one says Chetzishali.
Yeah.
Okay? So the one who says Kulishali, he's claiming the whole thing, and the other one's only claiming half, right? It's only claiming half of it. So the one who says Kula Shali, why should he have to swear at all?
I'm telling you, because someone else is Muxak in the Talis. Yeah, but let's leave out the case of Kula Shali. Let me just talk to you about the case of Zelmer Kula Shali v'Zelmer Kula Shali. Why do I insist that should be a case of Modem and Miktas? Where's the Modem and Miktas here? Did I fall off my bed on the wrong side? Why am I telling you that this is Moda B'miksas?
Moda B'miksas in the Shvua.
No. The Shvua is a Shvua D'Rabbanan. Tosa says that we're going to learn a sugya later on that the whole institution of the Shvua is a Takoras Chacham.
Yeah, right. And it's
because on the Doraisa level, Yachloku without a Shvua. So I'm asking, what happened to the Shvua of Moda B'miksas? So you'll say to me, Berzon, what are you, nuts? Are you off your rocker? What kind of shvu is moda b'miksas? He's claiming the whole talus is his. Where's the moda b'miksas? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you is the following. That the reality is that he's moda b'miksas. Why? Because since the other fellow, and again we could say it in both directions, but let's just go through one direction first. The other fellow is holding on to half the talus. And that's exactly why the Mishnah says he gets that half the talus. Because we have a principle called Chazaka Kol Mashitakas Yad Odom Shalom. So on the half of the talus that he's holding on to, he gets half the talus. And that's why the other Tzad Shekinegdo can only take a Shvua on half the talus, because he doesn't have a claim on the other half of the talus. So he can't substantiate a claim on the other half of the talus with a Shvua, because he has no claim on the other half of the talus. And why doesn't he have a claim on the other half of the talus? Because the Tzad Shekinegdo is holding on to it. That's called Ochazin. And Ochazin means that he has a Chazaka. That's what Rashi says in the first Rashi in the Perek. He says, Dafka Ochazin, the Shnei Muchzokim Ba, the Ein Laze Koach Ba Yosemize, Sheilu Hoya, Hoysa Talz Biad Echod, Levado, if the Talz was in the hands of one of them, Havi Ida Chamotzi Mechavero, Hol of Araya, is therefore, until he brings Aiden to prove that he owns the Talz, we assume he's a thief, and he's stealing the Talz from someone else. Why? Because the other person is Muxa. Now, if we apply the logic of Rashi, we begin to understand what Yachloku is in that Mishnah. Because Rashi is saying that Och is in Dafka, which means that Ochzin creates Muchzakus, as I state in Rashi, the Shnei Muchzakimba, and no one has more Muchzakus than the other one. So each one is Muchzakon, half the talus. If that be the case, each one is really claiming that this is mine, and I don't have a chazak on the other half of the talus, because I admit that you have the chazak on the other half of the talus. Those are the facts on the ground. So that's modem mixas, because he's saying to the other guy, you're claiming the entire talus, well, I'm claiming half the talus. And that should be a shmur d'oraisa of modem mixas. What do you say, Yosef?
So why don't you just...
You look very...
it should be...
Very upset.
The kula shali, each one is saying, I got there first.
So it should be...
Oh. Exactly. So that's a good point.
It should be code for a call. Why am I
that's a good point. In other words, I'm not even being moda on you, Mukzakis. No, I'm denying you, Mukzakis. I'm calling you a thief.
Yeah.
You grabbed it out of my hand.
Right. And we won't allow them to contradict each other, Bishvuot. That's why this Shvuah is set up that way.
Right. Now, that I understand. But Yosef is saying that why isn't this a Shvuah d'oraisa of moda b'mitzas? Because it's not the way I presented it to you, that there are two people, each one is mukzak on half the talus. Enochi Nami, maybe in that case, if they each claim kula shali, we would have a Shvuah d'oraisa of moda b'mitzas, because I have to admit that the other half of the talus is yours. I can't deny that. You're mukzak on the other half of the talus. But that's not the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is where each one is claiming, I got to the talus first, and I lifted it up first, and my mukzakis is a total mukzakis. You have no mukzakis on the talus. Interesting.
So you can say it's a kofar kol. It's the same idea. I have shuas hesed. The guy says it's my talus, and I say it's definitely not your talus. It's my talus.
Right.
It's kofar kol.
So you're asking a different question. This is a different version. My question is that it should have been a Shmud Oraisa. You're saying, let it be a Shmud Rabbana, but we don't need a separate Takana here. We can apply the universal principle of Kofra Kol. Yeah, but I don't think this is a case of Kofra Kol. Kofra Kol is only a case where there was Alva. Let's say, for example, there was Alva, and I deny the whole claim. For example, I say I never borrowed money from you, or I say I paid you back. That's a very specific case of Shvuas Heseis Derabbanan. I mean, there are many cases where you don't apply the principle of Shvuas Heseis Derabbanan. Okay, we'd have to learn more about Shvuas Heseis Derabbanan.
Yeah, but that's why I think you should the only one that chapter swear the one who has.
Let's see if they're up for me.
Why should the other man have to take a Shvua when he calls it? He says it's all his. In order to be, the Rabbanan are going to be motzi half of the half. A quarter, they're going to be motzi to one person.
Right.
Well, he has to take a shur. The other one, why should he take a shur? He can't impose it to all these in the first place.
So, Bosai, let's just take a quick vote, if you don't mind. I mean, I'd like to... I'm torn in between these two limudim, you know, Stachulin and Bab Metzia. So my options here are either that we learn Chulin and then we drop Bav Metzia, or we learn both Chulin and Bav Metzia. We'll see if we can work out a way that we can do both. I'm not willing to give up Chulin because I can't. That would be suicidal for me. I can't give up Chulin. I have a kolel here. That we have a brand new kolel. It's like seven new members of the kolel, three of the old, and they're all learning Perikol Abos. So I got to be up on what's going
That's
on.
That's a given.
That's a given. Less pshara. There's no pshara on that. But what I am willing to do, and that's what I'm excited about doing, it would be my first choice, is that we dip a little bit into the Bavis. I haven't really studied the Bavis in ages. I mean, the closest I got to studying the Bavis was the third Perek Ksubis, which has a lot of overlap with the Bavis. That's Perek Elunaris. But to really get heavy into the Bavis and get a clue about Dini Mamis and Choshen Mishpat, I thought we would start with Bava Metzia. I would have started with Bava Kama. But the truth is, I learned Bava Kama a few times. I never really learned Bava Metzia. So this is, again, it's crazy I should pick a Masech that I never learned. Right? Why do such a thing? Are they up to Mincha yet? Okay. So if you can give me your feedback and let me know.